Okay, cool. Okay, so I'm re-recording this semi-microcast because GarageBand on the iPhone is mad trying to work it out. Probably should use Wavelength and pay for micro-podcasting on micro.blog. Anyway, so hopefully now this is actually just going to keep recording and I'm going to keep an eye on it as well. So I'm just recording this little microcast. Not sure if I'm going to make it public because it's really in response to a link I shared on a semi-private Slack channel earlier today, and I get super intimidated trying to respond to things in writing still that have a nuance, and I thought, this would be great, and so I'm going to talk about some of the stuff that I've picked up on and the things there. So there was an article shared on a website called Tez Teaching for Schools, which according to their website, it looks a pretty formal one, is one of the biggest communities of educators in the world. So 2.1 million weekly global visits to this TES.com, 1,000 learners qualified with the TES Institute, right? I can't remember what it stands for, but it's a big thing, right? So today, was it today? Yeah. On the 12th of September, someone there called Dorothy McGinty posted an article called Why I Banned Smartphones and What Happened Next. And it's like the head of school made a decision to ban mobile phones on a campus and within the campus and boarding school. So that was... The article then goes on to say that, you know, the story made headlines and that there was basically things started to happen in the school, that there was silence, there wasn't ringing telephones, but the student body weren't complaining, and actually that the school was transformed, that people started talking to each other, they stopped complaining of neck pain, there's a mother there saying about sending text messages to her daughter during the school day and that she would instantly reply, and there's a comment there that says, what, I thought is she missing while I'm replying, why are you texting her? And it goes on then to say though that they ban the schools, and there's a mother says change our daughter's amazing, she's got their own girl back, there's no sign of panicking or anxiety. One says about hiding behind a mobile phone to cope with pressured spaces. Teachers also noticed a mood change, that they felt a sense of relief among the girls, that they were talking to each other more, they seemed more present, more relaxed, more responsive. And, you know, the kids said the same, you know, we were talking, chatting to each other, they felt they were much more confident people. At the end of the article, it's a really short article, talks about the worry around like instant feedback and timetable changes not being communicated, but that didn't seem to matter. That's a bit of an odd ending to it, which I was found a bit odd because, you know, I don't really quite get what that was about. So I posted this on a Slack channel because I thought, wow, you know, the school has banned phones. I don't think that's the right thing to do in a school, and I'll come on to that in a minute. And this is a Slack channel with lots of educators, so I thought, this, you know, this is in the Blades of Glory film, Michael Mathers, the skater there, who's one of the rogue skaters, sort of sings a Lady Hump song. And it doesn't, you know, and the lyrics just make no sense. And he's like questioned about it. And he says, well, it's not meant to make sense. It's provocative. Well, unfortunately, I don't think this article made that much sense, but it is provocative. So there's a couple of things with that in mind that I want to think about, and just thought, I'll put it into words because it's interesting, and then we'll come back to the teaching angle. So the first thing is, you know, I have three daughters. They're all older daughters are, you know, grown up now, and younger daughters. So I can say that I have seen the anxiety that relates around mobile phone technology, and that predominantly relates to messaging, misunderstanding of messages, group messaging, those kind of things, and imagery. So the this ideal image and this fake sort of oh, we're all having a great time on Instagram, you know, the not revealing what's actually going on behind the curtain. And then that builds up into a misperception of a situation or a person and those kind of things. And so I've had lots of conversations around that. So in the first instance, I think this is an amazing piece of clickbait. It's got mums and dads clicking on it. Oh, my, you know, my son or my daughter is stressed out with a phone. And that's fair enough, you know, because I've seen that level of anxiety. We've also seen that in teaching, you know, teaching a group of 18 plus year olds game design who are very, you know, digitally literate in the sense they're on every device going. But man, you know, they have the same issues and anxieties around mobile communication technology and particularly around group chats and conversations that that they misunderstand or they feel free to say because it's over a digital device. And that has massive impact. So it's a few things that it plays to me where it's like, you know, this the myth of the digital native, because if they're digitally native, how come they're getting these things so wrong and it's causing so many problems? So, you know, conversations with my daughters about the appropriate use of technology, when to just to pick up the phone, when to say something in person, what you should say through text and the use of those in terms of like, if you're not prepared to say it to that individual in person, you know, you can't hide behind an emoji or whatever. And so actually at work now, I have like a whole social etiquette because we use Slack and we use lots of messaging systems, lots of digital technology, but we have this social etiquette conversation. We talk about the etiquette that sits in using this and also the use of those tools, you know, using group messaging actually is really, really poor for communicating team activities. It's much better to get together, do a Slack video call, you know, have that conversation where there is the ability for nuances and those kind of things. So, you know, text message just never really works. So there was a great bit of conversation. Elon's sort of jumped in talking about, you know, some of the bits and pieces here. In terms of like, he took some quotes about this and wondered what others would think about it. But there's a thing about, you know, agreed to learning to manage devices hard. And, you know, responsibility of using those is obviously an important. But he also stated, I don't understand just ban them perspective. But, you know. So that was cool, right? And I was like, okay, interesting. And then Amy came back with this great thing about, you know, I'm totally against banning phones. I'm for teaching etiquette, responsible use, balance, and even kind of co-creating norms, you know. Obviously, they're not using them for creative purposes or even empowering them, you know. And she talked about using McLuhan, which is great, fantastic, you know. So Marshall McLuhan, amazing, really interesting. Also, what are they going to ban? A few years and the smartphone-esque stuff is embedded in our bodies. Well, that's super interesting, right? She goes on to talk about a few things about kids being targeted, etc., this kind of stuff. And I totally, again, have seen this kind of stuff. And she also makes a comment, you know, about the fact that, you know, situations, you know, communication with the outside world can be really, really vital. The last week, obviously, we've had the unfortunate anniversary of 9/11. And there's been lots of media there where, you know, we hear the recordings of loved ones leaving like final messages to people through mobile communication. So, of course, you know, that's another angle. But the thing I'm really interested in and the thing that I kind of just wanted to kind of get out there is, you know, I don't think a banning is right. I think, you know, we need to understand how to use devices appropriately. And also, you know, that. Sure, you know, maybe there needs to be moments where those devices are, you know, shelved, you know, and again, we have a moment where, you know, if things are getting a bit out of hand, it's like, okay, the phones all go into the little phone box outside the bedrooms, you know, outside here, and, you know, we make sure that there's a moment where those devices are no longer continuously interrupting with things where, you know, the school day never ends and that kids can continue to push things in different ways. And also, that might be the same with, you know, maybe in the lunchtime slots with these girls and whatever, that they need to reduce their use of the phone so they're not contacting other people. Again, I don't know why this parent felt the need to message their daughter during those hours, you know. There's the do not disturb options. There's opportunities to reduce, you know, the types of communications. Again, there's ways you could do that through technology, but actually it's more about education, I think. The other thing for me is, like, this is the world we live in. You know, we are surrounded by connected devices. We need to use those devices in ways that augment and enhance our ability to learn, enhance our ability to empathize with others, and enhance our ability to do good. And so in those situations in teaching, there is so many opportunities to use connected devices to do wonderful things. And people on this Slack channel, like Amy, totally understand the creative power that's within these devices. You know, but it's also the fact that, you know, we don't need to remember particular facts and information. We can dial those up on our phone. We can find out, you know, Doug will probably go nuts about this, but, you know, we can find out history, you know, in Wikipedia. We can do some fact checking, make sure it's right. And so remembering the date of, you know, that King Harold was killed in 1066 or whatever is not as important as all the other nuances around it and the discussion that could be had by quickly accessing that statistical piece of data, verifying it, you know, and using the network to do that and working collaboratively to do something interesting. So I think that I don't know too much about this blog or this TES website. I'm a bit worried that it's big. It's clickbait. I threw it in the Slack channel because I think it's provocative. It is. It gets me worried about schools sometimes. So I just wanted to make this little microcast. Obviously, I've mentioned a few things, different people here who are talking about bits and pieces. May not. I'm going to post it first in the Slack channel, see what people think, see if I'm talking a load of rubbish or if I'm going to get myself into more hot water. And if everyone's good, then this will make an official microcast episode. So if that's the case, thanks for listening. And that's it.